Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
So it is so great to be here in Brentwood. Father, thank you for this great church. Thank you for these individuals. Pondering in worship what to share tonight, I got caught between two messages. I just kept drawn back to this one. Turn into John chapter 6. We're going to kind of be over the New Testament, and I want to talk to you. I'm going to entitle this word tonight, Delayed but Not Destroyed. When the enemy cannot destroy you, he will delay you. And that is what this church faces, and many of you face as individuals tonight. Did I send you into John 6, or what I sent you, James? Let me just set the context of the feeding of the 5,000. The greatest miracles Jesus will ever do for a person or a people typically take place at their greatest point of weakness. Why is that? Well, one is glory is safe there, and they can't say it was them. Two, they're typically so weak they can't get in the way. Now, there are tough circumstances here. They've just received the news that John the Baptist has been brutally murdered. His head's been cut off. This is the relative of Jesus, the one man on the earth that should have understood who he was. He's killed. It says Jesus himself is so grieved, he just wants to get away and pray about it. Disciples, heartbroken. To make it worse, it said they've been so busy ministering, they hadn't even had time to eat. They were depressed over the death of their beloved figure. To some of the disciples, he was like a spiritual father as well to John. And now Jesus, listen, let's just get away. Let's go to a solitary place. You're beat down. You're worn down. And the next thing they know, just sitting down to rest, thousands and thousands of people come. Now, if you've ever been really tired and someone comes to your door for ministry, it's the last thing you're looking for. But when you're processing death and grief and tiredness and thousands of people show up, you just don't know what to do. Now, this in reality is a divine setup for one of the most important lessons they're ever going to learn. And if you can capture what I want to say tonight in these next few minutes, it'll help you as a church break through. It'll help you as an individual. So who but Jesus in John 6? We won't even turn there in John 6. I'm just kind of laying a foundation. All the crowds come and miracle power is breaking out. And all of a sudden it's starting to get a little dusky. And there's no grocery stores around there. There's no lamb kebab stands. And they realize we got 5,000 men, probably 20,000, including women and children, 24, 25,000. They've got to be fed. So I was going to go, you know, like Jesus says, you feed them. Now, who but God, when you're totally out of everything, would ask you to feed someone? Now, remember, if God ever asks you to give something you don't have or do something you can't do, it's because he is going to do it for you and through you. If he ever asks what's impossible, all of a sudden, the fuse of a miracle has been lit in your life. Now, typically, they get into their head, we can't afford this building, we can't afford to give, we can't afford to do, we'd have to work 6 months, we'd have all these wages. And only one person there believed. It was a little boy who probably stole the family lunchbox and the parents, man, he got the lunch. He ran up and handed Jesus that lunch. And Peter said, well, you know, they got one kid here. He got this little lunch, you know, and Andrew, he's doing this little lunch. But anything you give in the hands of Jesus become the foundation for a miracle. Anything you give him at that moment. But God typically will not bring something out of nothing. You've got to put something in his hands for your miracle. Now, why didn't someone else give their sandwich? Because in the rational mind, a little never matters. To God, all he needs is a little. My little never matters, Pastor. My little bit of faith, my little bit of tithe, my little bit of giving. One little boy said, here's lunch. This is all I want. Now, this is interesting. Jesus takes this little lunch and feeds thousands of people. I don't want to go into all the implications because I'm going to go a little deeper into the story. But there are 12 baskets left. Why is that? Because each disciple probably going to get one. Now, catch me. If you would have been there and just seen Jesus multiply this bread, how many of you would have thought, I got to bring this home? Think about this. James, imagine bringing, this is miracle bread. Jesus broke this. You're thinking, I got my basket from the Sunday morning service. I got more miracles. I've got more faith. I shouted. And now Jesus is getting ready to teach them the fundamental lesson of breakthrough. You can't live off what I do for you. You've got to live off who I am. He is going to teach them this. Now watch this. This is so interesting. So they got their bellies full of miracle bread. And Jesus says immediately, Mark 6, 45 and 46, Jesus says, he made his disciples get ahead into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida. Now, Bethsaida means house of fish. He, however, dismissed the crowd and left them and went up on the mountainside to pray. Now, catch this, if you will. It's so important. They've just seen an astonishing miracle. Not only have there been teaching and healing, Jesus took one sack lunch and fed 20,000 people, or whatever there were, thousands of people. And they each have a basket. And Jesus said, you guys, get in a boat and go. Where are you going, Jesus? He says, I'm going to pray. Now, if they'd have been smart, they'd have realized, wait a minute here. If he's going to pray and we're going to play, what's going to happen here? But they were so caught up. We got our miracle bread. We're going to Bethsaida. We got our podcast. I got the shout on me in church. I got my word of faith. Jesus going up to pray. They going out to play and live on the little miracle from that Sunday service. Now, problem is, you get into a little divine ambiguity here. How many of you learned the Lord didn't always tell you what's coming next in your life? You ever wonder why? Because he knows if he told you, you wouldn't go. You'd be afraid. So sometimes he just kind of surprises you. Now, what's happening here? They think they're on the way to Bethsaida to fry up some of that miracle fish in a fish fry. In reality, they're on the way to the Decapolis. They're on the way to the Gadarenes, where months before, Jesus said, let's go to their side. And a storm, a demonic storm came and almost killed them in their minds. Boat sinking. They woke Jesus up. They're scared. Jesus, they're not going back there. You see, there are things that we get burned on in the kingdom of God. That evangelism didn't work. That building didn't work. That giving didn't work. And we're afraid to go back. So God in his wisdom will indirectly lead us back to the place where we failed the first time. Because in reality, we did not fail. And many times it takes more than one attempt to break the power of the enemy. Well, they don't realize that one old naked bandit that got saved, it really wasn't a wasted outreach. He'd been given his testimony in all of the Decapolis, these 10 Romanized cities, were open now to miracle power. But they're afraid to go back. So little did they know that in the wisdom, they're going back to where they thought they'd failed. They're going back to where they thought they couldn't do it. And they get in a boat. Now watch this. I love this part. They get in a boat. Jesus goes up on the mountain to pray. They go down into the boat to go on vacation. They're rowing in Mark 6, 47, 48. It says, when evening came. Why is it when evening came, everything seemed to get worse? The sun goes down. The boat was in the middle of the lake. He was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Now catch this. He's on the mountaintop. He'd been worshiping. They're both tired. But Jesus realizes earthly bread, no matter what kind of touch is on it, will not give you the strength to go into God's will. He's up with his dad. He's up in prayer. He's up in worship. He looks down with his dad, and the demonic wind comes out of the Decapolis. It can't destroy him this time because the power of the enemy is weakened, but it stops him. It delays him. They're rowing. They're frustrated. How many of you know they're not praising in there by this time? And they're rowing. The prophet said, man, give me a miracle fish. Bite down on that podcast, listen to that thing. Oh, let me have a little of that bread. But they're stuck. Jesus is laughing. He goes, Dad. His daddy goes, son, they're going to learn this time. They don't abide in me, and they don't pray, and they don't spend time in my presence. They can't break the demonic. They can't break the delay. They can't cut through it. Jesus, Dad, what should I do? He says, son, I want you to get down in there and walk on that water and just run right by them. And I want to show you the difference in praying and playing. I want to show you the difference in living off what I did and living off me. They're stuck, beloved, in that wind. They're stuck and don't know what to do. You see, the greatest moments of your life, there will always be a demonic headwind. There will always be a wind of delay. But if that wind of delay drives you into God, watch what happens. Now, I love this story. They're rowing. They're mad. I guarantee you they're not praising in that boat. They're saying, man, I knew we shouldn't have gone without it. Peter goes, man, I knew. Why are we leaving? We should be up praying. John goes, man, remember what happened last time? That big wave almost came. And he goes, man, what? This miracle bread ain't working what I thought. Man, I prayed Wednesday night. Well, it's Friday. Too bad. Man, and Sunday I listened to your word. What about Monday and Tuesday? And all of a sudden, Jesus laughs. And I just love this. They're rowing. And here comes Jesus. Watch me now. Runs down off the mountain of prayer in the Holy Ghost. And he's running. And they look out. And he's out running them. You know the story. Peter yells. He hollers. He said, Jesus. He says, Jesus. He goes, if that's you, he says, man, call me. I'll come. Of course, you know the story here. Peter thinks to himself, you losers. I'm done with you. I'm a man of faith. He jumps out of his boat. You see, there's a time when Jesus doesn't just want to get your boat across. He wants to get you out of the boat and give you a new mode of transportation. He wants to get you out of something. And Peter comes out of the boat. Of course, you know the story. He sinks. Jesus picks him back up. Now watch me. He's carrying him back. And take courage. It's I. It's me. Climbs down in the boat. And John 6:21 says this. Watch this. Then they were willing to take him to the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore from where they're heading. Now catch this. He gets back into the boat with Peter. The boat, under the supernatural power of God, is transported immediately through the storm. It's like a hydrofoil, beloved. Jesus is trying to show them something. If you'll find the source of power, the enemy cannot delay you. If you'll tap into my power, if you tap into my spirit, you can cut through the wind of delay. Now, this is where it gets really interesting. He gets back to the boat, and when he gets in the boat, I'm sorry, I can find that verse for you. In Mark 6:51 and 52, he climbed into the boat, the wind died down, they were completely amazed. Here's why they were amazed. They had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hard. They get into the boat. And they're amazed, like, we're there. We cut. They didn't understand something. What didn't they understand? They did not understand that the power was not in the loaf he touched. The power was in the living bread of heaven. Because when we go back into John 6, he says, listen. Catch this for a minute. Your forefathers followed Moses, the greatest miracle minister the world's ever known. They all ate the bread of heaven and died. They did not go into their promised land. They did not finish their destiny. They saw miracles. They saw angels. They had great services. Water came out of rocks. He said, but there is a bread. If you eat, you won't die. There is a bread. If you imbibe it, if you eat it, if you consume it, if you face it, you will not die. You'll live. He looked at me and said, here's what you didn't get. I'm the bread. And if you don't feast on my presence, if you don't feast on my power, if you don't feast on who I am, you'll never have the strength you need to cut through that storm, to cut through the demonic, to cut through what you're facing, and come to the side. They got to their side. Every sick person that touched him in 10 cities was miraculously healed and shaken by the power of God. Now, beloved, listen to me. Thus saith the Lord. Winds of delay have come against your lives. Winds of delay have come against this church. He cannot destroy this church. He cannot destroy you. He cannot destroy. So he is delaying you. And so many of you are locked up in the middle of your destiny tonight. You're locked up. He can't destroy you. He can't sink you. But you're doing everything you know to do in the natural, and it's not enough. Why isn't it enough? Because if you don't feed on him, it's not enough to feed on that podcast. It's not enough to come to church. It's not enough to feel the Holy Ghost in this service. I appreciate the fact that you're soaking in the Holy Ghost. You're running around. I hope you're running around at home. I hope you're in the presence of God at home. My God, if the only time the Holy Ghost is on you is two or three times a week, you're never going to get through. You're just never going to get across. They settle for bread touched by God instead of God himself. What was Jesus demonstrating? I fed on my dad, you fed on bread. Who ran across water and who couldn't row through a storm? You're stuck and I'm running because while you played, I prayed. You're stuck and I'm running because while you settled for the miracle crumb, I fed on the miracle God. Yeah. I appreciate podcasts. I appreciate foundations classes. I love hearing James speak and Bruce speak. I love this church. I love this worship. But if my diet only consists of what this team serves me, I will remain delayed in my destiny. Because what I get on Sunday and what I get on Wednesday and what I get in small group, the real purpose of that is not to give me all I need. It's to teach me how to keep getting it when I get home. Beloved, that's what he's trying to say. They took off without him. They left him. You know why they left him? Because they thought somehow what they had in that basket was as good as him. It's just not. I'm sorry. It's not. I see winds of delay. You know something, though? If a jet's going to take off, it's got to have a headwind. When that Holy Ghost power comes and you're rumbling out on your destiny, you hit that wind and it lifts you. Some of you are stuck tonight. The enemy's delayed you and it's paralyzed you. And some of you are great professionals. A lot of you know your jobs. But all the professionals in the world ain't going to cut through a demonic delay. All the human effort in the world is not going to cut through a demonic delay. All the good plans, all the figuring. I don't care if James prays for you three times and you come forward, it ain't going to be enough. If you settle for the bread he's touched instead of the bread himself, you will not have the power you need to cut through this storm. Driving over tonight, the Holy Ghost, if I could, they're delayed. But Jesus allowed it because that delay forced them to touch him. How many of you know they never forgot that night when they looked over? They thought Jesus was a ghost. Why is it that when we see Jesus where we're praying for him to be but never expect he'll be, it's like we see this virtual ghost or something? Jesus shows our life, it's just a ghost. It ain't him. It ain't real. It ain't him, it's a ghost! No, it's him answering your prayer and exposing the unbelief in your heart. He's right there. Yes. He comes walking across with Peter. They go. He gets in the boat. The storm stops. He didn't even say anything. And it's supernaturally transported to the other side into the greatest Gentile revival they'd ever experienced. Listen, how's that happen? What's Jesus saying? I fed on my dad. You fed on bread. I ran through a storm that 12 sailors couldn't row through. He said, your forefathers had all the miracles. Just imagine. I love having pastors. Imagine having Pastor Moses. Moses, so anointed. Do you realize he stayed veiled? He stayed veiled. There was such a glory on his face. When he came out of the holy place, they ran when they saw him. He's so anointed. He's 2.5 million people fed with heavenly bread. He'd hit a rock. Water would gush out like a fire hydrant. He parted seas. He wiped out empires. Pastor Moses and everyone in his congregation that was an adult did not make it. But Joshua. Because there's only one bread. One bread. It's the heavenly bread. It's Christ. It's his person. It's his presence. The purpose of church is not to give you your full, your fill. The purpose of church is to teach you how to get it when you're not here. I'm hoping you're learning some good habits. I'm hoping you're learning to praise and how to hear and to love the word and how to worship. I hope you are. But if you're only doing it here, you don't have the strength. You know how people end up destroyed in their destiny? They say it's delayed so long, they despair and destroyed. Many of us see it by the Holy Ghost. You're locked up in delay tonight. You're locked up. You're frustrated. Because you feel like Jesus told me to do this. Jesus, get in the boat and go. Well, we're obeying you. Yeah, you obeyed me, but why didn't you invite me to go? Why didn't you say, I want to go, but I'm waiting until you come with me. Well, he told them to go. He didn't say go without me. They should say, we've done that before. We want to go, but we'll wait till you're done or we're going with you. We're not crossing without you. They thought, we got the miracle bread. We got Bethel bread. We got the Bethel podcast. We got the Bethel. I'm taking it all home. You take all that home all you want. You don't take him home. You're in trouble. You're in trouble. I tell you this. Feed on him and press. Feed on him. Don't buy into the lie that your money doesn't count. Don't buy into the lie that your time doesn't count. Only in that crowd of thousands, one little boy thought, my lunch counts. The disciples, this is a joke to him. Oh, we got this one lunch from this dumb kid. He don't need much to change your life, much to build a building, much to change a city. But typically, our minds become calculators of what it's going to take, and we figure, therefore, my little thing doesn't matter, or what I'm supposed to do doesn't matter, or what I feel to do doesn't matter. Tonight, it's time to break through the wind of delay as individuals, as a church. I'll tell you something. Jesus will let you get desperate. He'll let you grow. He'll let you. And then he'll come. Somebody said, where's Jesus in my life? Standing right in front of you and you thought it was a ghost. You look right at him and said, it's my imagination. You look right at him and says, it can't be real. But there he was. That's what Peter said. If it's really you, holler out to me. He's right there. But you said, my eyes are playing tricks on me. It can't be a miracle. He's not really there. He's not really walking on that water in my crisis. Yes, he is. Oh, yes, he is. That's why I love the younger generation. When Peter came to the door, she said, Peter's at the door. All the adults said, no, he's dead. It must be his angel. They're all praying for him to live. None of them believed it. Took a teenager to believe for a miracle. If you feel I'm being delayed tonight, stand to your feet. I'm going to pray for you right now. Join me up here, Pastor James, please. Because I'm delayed tonight, Pastor Jim. I'm delayed in my destiny. Delayed in what God has for me. Delayed in what I know he's doing. Jesus said, go! No, you're not delayed because you're disobedient. You're not being delayed because you're out of the will of God. You are delayed because you don't have the supernatural strength you need to fight through the storms that always surround our promised land. You think the devil's not going to fight you over what God told you to do? He's going to fight you. That's one of the biggest signs you're in God's will. That wall you've hit, You see, there we face them as families, we face them as individuals, we face them as churches. It's just the way it goes. Just raise your hands. Holy Spirit. Help me. Say, help me. I'm not going to settle for crumbs. I'm not going to settle for what you've touched. I'm going to feed on you. Forgive me for leaving without you. Just forgive me for leaving without you. Lord, we're receiving your life tonight. Pastor James, just pray what you feel over them right now about this.
Lord, we thank you that your presence is descending freshly upon your people. And thank you, God, that there is a replenishing, God, by that which is depleted. Lord, that your mercy is here, God, where we may have failed in one area, yet we can have you now, God. Because we're drawing near to you now, you're drawing near to us, Lord. You are our exceeding great reward. We have you. Just reach up, just confess in your own heart, I have you now, Lord. I've got you now. My mind is made up. I've got you. I'm renewing my commitment to you, my prayer life, my holiness living. You are Lord over my life, my finance, my talent, my time. I'm just recommitting. I'm rededicating. I'm rededicating, Lord. You'll never have to walk past me because I'm going to notice you now. I'm going to notice you every day of my life. You're intimately involved, and now I'm going to be more acquainted with you. I thank you, Lord, for the empowerment, Lord. And now I'm taking on those winds, Lord, and I'm taking off. I'm going into the wind now. I'm going into the wind now. I'm going into the wind, and I'm going to get my lift. I'm going to get my lift because you're preparing a table before me in the presence of my enemy. My enemy couldn't stop me. He tried to delay me, but he could not stop me. He tried to kill me, but he couldn't because my destiny and the word over my life was too strong. I thank you for the word over my life tonight, Lord. I'm getting in agreement with you in a fresh way. As my hands are raised, I receive the word that you spoke over my life to go to the other side. Lord, I just now decided that I'm taking you with me in Jesus' name. Come on, give God a little praise. Get to the other side, church. Oh, we're going to the other side. Oh, we're going to the other side. You just was delayed. We were just delayed. He couldn't stop us. Oh, I don't know what's been held up in your life, but the reason you praise God, because it was a delay. It wasn't a calamity. He couldn't stop your marriage. He couldn't stop your life. It's just a little delay.